Well, thank you very much for inviting me back here to present the year-end results of the performance of the Northeast groundfish fishery. Before I get into the details, I just want to remind you about how this is playing out with a series of reports. I was here at the end of June to present the nine-month report, and today I'm presenting the results of the everything up to the year end. The structure of this report, which was just released last week, and I know it's probably maybe a little confusing to some about the timings of some of these things, but the structure of this particular report is identical to the nine-month report. There are no new analyses in this. But for the sector workshop at the end of October, we are going to have new analyses to add to this year-end report. So this is really just sort of the second step in a three-step process. And in a few minutes, I'll talk a little bit about those new analyses. Before doing that, I just want to remind everyone again about how this fits into the social sciences branch effort to measure performance in fisheries, and the long-term plan is to do this for more fisheries, starting with those catch share fisheries. The social science branch is going to just focus on these five areas that are in red on the slide: the financial viability, distributional outcomes, stewardship, governance, and well-being. The two reports, the one that I presented on the nine-month and then the year-end report, uses data that's available at the time, and that restricts us to only being able to focus on financial viability and distributional outcomes. We do have longer-term plans for data collection, crew and owner survey, that will allow us in the long run to start being able to report out on the other three, the stewardship, governance, and well-being. So there are going to be four main new analyses that will be in this report that will be released in October. And those four areas are: the first is analysis of the ACE trading that has occurred in fishing year 2010. Get some sense of the magnitude and the value of that trade. There'll be analysis of changes in trip-level net revenues. I know that came up in the earlier discussion about at-sea monitoring. And I am working in an evaluation of the at-sea monitoring cost and what that impact will be on the net revenue figure. So should be able to provide a little bit of information about if sector vessels were to have paid those costs in 2010, what the impact would have been. The third area is there will be some additional analyses of changes in vessel productivity, and that's just a measure of the physical quantities of inputs used in the fishing process compared with the outputs. Again, just a quantity level assessment. And lastly, there'll be some additional information that shows how some of the distributional measures in this report that I'm going to talk about today, how they play out at the ownership level, where an owner might own more than one vessel, or a group of owners owns multiple vessels, and how things like revenue distribution is distributed across owners. Everything in this report today is just at the vessel level, so we'll be able to say a little bit more about that. So here I'll go through the highlights of this year-end report. There were two main differences between the values that were in the interim or the nine-month report and the year-end report. The first one being that at the nine-month point, groundfish revenues were higher at the nine-month point. It was higher than 2009. It was still below 2007, 2008 levels. But now at year end, those groundfish revenues were the lowest in all the 4 years in the time series. The second thing that appears to be different in the year end report is in the 9 month report, we had some measures of revenue per trip and revenue per day. And there was some upturn in 2010, and in the year end, those upturns in 2010 are a little more clearly defined. So there are two main groups of findings in the report, one being those things that seem to have changed in 2010, and then those things that seem to be a continuation of a trend that happened from 2007 onward. The newer finding, the things that occurred in 2010 were higher gross revenues from all species, and that was up $26 million from a level of $297 million in 2009. Average fish prices, both groundfish and all species, they were higher in 2010. There were increases in revenue per trip and per day and higher average revenue per vessel. So this slide shows the reversal of that downward trend that started in 2007 in overall revenues from $271 million in 2009, and then it jumped up to $298 million in 2010, which brought the total revenues back up to about 2007 levels. You can also see in this graph in the blue that the groundfish revenues were down from $89 million in 2007 down to $83 million in 2010. So the overall gain was in the non-groundfish revenue. This graph shows you the increases in average price for groundfish and for non-groundfish. Groundfish prices were up 17% between 2009 and 2010, and non-groundfish prices were up 20% between those 2 years. This graph shows the average revenue per vessel for different size classes, and we for a lot of things in the report, we broke things out geographically by whether vessels were home ported in a particular port or land in a particular port, but we also broke things out by four different vessel size classes. This shows the change in the average revenue per vessel. There really wasn't any change at the smallest level of less than 30 feet, and not much change at the next two size categories, and you really only see a difference in those vessels 75 feet and greater that had the most significant increase in revenue per vessel. And this slide shows the average revenue per trip, and this is just for groundfish species. And we use this as a proxy for net revenue. We look at revenue per unit of effort because at the time of these first two reports, we didn't have that cost data ready to use. As I said, we will be using that in the October report. We'll have net revenue estimates. But you see here that there was upturns in the three vessel classes between 2009 and 2010. And this shows the increase in the revenue per trip for non-groundfish trips. And again, three different size classes show increases between 2009 and 2010. In this case, it was the 50 to 75 foot vessels that did not show much of an increase. So now just want to go over the trends that appear to have continued from 2007 onward, and those were fewer active vessels, fewer crew positions, and a measure of crew opportunity that we call crew days and crew trips, which is simply just the at a trip level, the number of days times the number of crew on a given trip. Fewer groundfish trips. There was a continuation of more concentration of particularly groundfish revenue among the top earners in the fishery, and there were also declining landings and groundfish revenue that I mentioned before. This graph shows the reduction since 2007 in the number of active vessels, and you can see in the yellow that the segment that contracted the most were those vessels between 30 and 50 feet. This is the number of groundfish trips taken, and this one, I mean, there was a downward trend from 2007, but this is really, you know, pretty dramatic difference between 2009 and 2010. The groundfish trips dropped by nearly half, from 27,000 trips in 2007 to 14,000 trips in 2010. And again, the largest reduction were in that 30 to 50 foot category. Non-groundfish trips, by the way, were up 19% between 2007 and 2010, but there still overall was a decline in the number of trips. But when you look at the number of days, the reduction is not as dramatic, and that's because the average trip length increased. And this slide in your handout, there's a mistake. This I think the 2010 doesn't show as large of a drop. But anyway, between 2009 and 2010, there was about a 33% reduction in the number of days on groundfish trips. And non-groundfish days stayed pretty steady between 2007-2010 at about 35,000 days. The slide shows the decline in landings for both groundfish and non-groundfish, and this was from the high point of 2008. And this shows the decline in groundfish revenues, also from 2008. A lot of attention seems to be paid to the distribution of revenue across the fleet. This slide in particular just shows the distribution of revenue for groundfish revenues. And the way to look at this slide, it's a little hard to see at first, but each category, each color on each of these bars represents a set number of vessels. So that for 2010, that top line, there's 99 boats in that blue segment, and those 99 boats earn the top 20% of the revenue. If you look at the next set of 99 boats, this is the amount of revenue that they earn. So you know, what's happened between 2007, this blue line down here, the top 20%, they caught 67% of the entire groundfish revenue, which was about $90 million. That dropped, or that increased, to 80% in 2010. So this blue bar is just a larger portion of the overall bar, even though total groundfish revenues declined between 2007 and 2010. And as I mentioned before, the October report will show how this plays out amongst owners. And, you know, what preliminary results are showing that this percentage reduction between, say, 2009 and 2010 isn't as great at the owner level as it is at the vessel level. This chart shows the value of landings by state. The bars show the revenue in the actual state that the fish was landed, and the lines show by the state that vessels declared as a home port on their permit. And we show things different ways because there's a different implication for each. You know, revenue that's landed in a port that tends to support shoreside businesses, whereas a vessel home ported, say, in Rhode Island and landing fish in Massachusetts, the assumption is that the earnings from that kind of go back to Rhode Island because that's where the owner's from, even though, you know, money is certainly spent in Massachusetts. But it just shows a slightly different picture. In 2010, we can see from this chart that Massachusetts is the largest of the Northeast states that have groundfish landings. 73 million of the 83 million total groundfish revenue was landed in Massachusetts. If you look at it by home port, vessels that declare a Massachusetts home port, they had 59 million of the 83 landed by those vessels. And then the next slide shows the additional states and how those landings break out. And there's a lot more detail in the report. We show changes in landings by port as well for some of these states. And then just to summarize what the next steps are for us. So clearly the next thing is getting this October report out with the additional analyses. Then beyond that is continuing to improve our data streams, refining our performance measures, and expanding this exercise onto to other fisheries and establishing ongoing reporting series that provide the council and others with how some of these fisheries are doing from both a social and economic point of view. And that's all I have for the presentation. Happy to take some questions.
Thank you very much, Drew, for that. That's, it's a great report. I think it provides us with a lot of information. And I'm certainly glad that we're going to get the expanded one coming up here a little bit later in the fall. With that in mind, I am going to dramatically limit the questions to two. So, Terry, you're the first because we still have a lot of work to do on whiting today.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the report, Drew. Just a quick question on the displaced effort indicated in the non-groundfish trips and the groundfish boats. Have you broken down the different by species and region?
I did do that for the report that'll be out in October. It looked at mostly it's scallop, lobster, squid, some fluke.
Thanks. I'll be looking forward to it.
Sure. Anyone else? Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, thank you. Well, next you address this issue when you come forward with your additional analyses in October, will you have a wish list? In other words, will you have a list of things, items, information that you will require in order to do analyses the way you would like them to be done? Specifically, I reference some points you make on page 8 regarding numbers of vessels, what's going on within sectors. A lot of information is not available that really would benefit you greatly and us as well. So will you have a list of what you feel needs to be required as we move forward with sector operations to enable a better socioeconomic analysis?
That's a very good question. Maybe the best thing to do is be prepared to bring that kind of a list to the sector workshop. First thing that comes to my mind is thinking about improvements in maybe some of the information about ACE trading. That I think we would benefit from having a little more detailed information, but I'd like a little more time to come up with that list, and maybe I can have something at the October workshop.
Great. Thank you very much. I'm sorry to abbreviate this part of it, but we have other things we're required to get done. Thank you very much. Andy and Dave, bring us home.
Yeah.
Home.
Yeah.
Home. 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 Home.